It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as hotline sponsor Fairway Cards. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7, our final live Bleed Tech Blue Radio of the season. Jason, I think this is like number 25, including some podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone by pretty fast. But what year is this now? 8 years?
This was eight.
Years?
Next year will be nine. Might have to have, in a couple of years, might have to have a 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, we'll have to do something for sure. But, you know, it went by fast, but we just had National Signing Day, and like you and Fox were talking about before he went off the air, spring football is about to start. We're about to get into conference tournament for basketball. I mean, March Madness is right around the corner. So the end of the athletic year, I mean, seems to be coming up pretty quick. And then, heck, even baseball is about to start.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and then, of course, couldn't do this without our sponsors. Our title sponsor all year has been Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go see those guys. I hear business is booming for those guys. I talked to Britt Schott the other day, actually at the National Signing Day social inside the DAC. Go see those guys for all your interior decorating needs in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. But Jason, let's recap a little 2016 recruiting class for Louisiana Tech. We'll project for the 2017 class. We'll talk about spring football, and we'll talk about basketball. I think that's plenty to talk about in the next hour. If you give us your comments or even questions on the Fairway Carts of Minden text line or hotline, 888-993-7762. Good stuff. But you go back to the signing class, it finished exactly how we expected, with one caveat.
Finishing strong with the defensive line.
They finished really strong on the defensive line. They flipped Kadarian Mason from Southern Miss, who was down to Louisiana Tech and Kentucky, we were told. So Tech steals one in the 11th hour. They rolled out the red carpet for him the week before signing day, and it must have worked. Along the defensive line, along with Kadarian Mason, who's 6'6", about 270 or 280 already, listed as a defensive end. He'll be a D-tackle before it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, there was questions about Butler when he came here.
Or 6'5", I should say.
Could Butler play defensive end? And then in more recent years, Hakeem Gray, LaDonte Davenport. Usually if you're that tall and you're already that heavy, 250-plus, 260-plus, you're going to put on some weight when Kurt Hester gets in control of your workout routine. He's going to get you up pushing 280, 290 after 1 year. And so you're going to be moved inside. But Tech's getting tall, athletic, defensive lineman. And the other thing I noticed, they're getting taller, more athletic cornerbacks like a David Beasley or a Zach Hannibal. So you can tell what kind of defense Blake Baker's wanting to put in with these monster pass rush. We saw Jalen Ferguson this year. But then also, if you're going to bring the blitz, bring the pressure with these defensive linemen, to have these bigger, more physical cornerbacks that can maybe jam the receiver at the line of scrimmage and also make a play on the ball, you know, they're not going to be able to just throw it up, because we've got, you know, Baker's got these bigger 6'1 corners back there that can make a play on the ball. You can't just pick on them anymore.
You know, before we continue on this topic, I don't know how I forgot this. News that I broke last week, Louisiana Tech's new offensive coordinator, wide receivers coach, Todd Fitch, former Boston College offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach, worked with Skip Holtz since the beginning of time, basically, at UConn, East Carolina, and South Florida. Skip Holtz will still call the plays for Louisiana Tech. I don't expect anything to change as far as Tech's offense. To me, what Fitch does is brings in familiarity, because one day Joe Sloan's going to leave. And Skip already knows or already has somebody on the staff that he knows everything about him, and they're on the same page immediately, and that's Joe Sloan. Yeah. The day that Joe Sloan leaves, he needs somebody else there, and that's Todd Fitch. And Todd Fitch is a good recruiter and knows Florida, an area that Tech has never recruited a whole lot, really well.
Yeah, and Tech's playing teams like Florida International, Florida Atlantic. So with Holtz and Sloan and now Fitch having ties to Florida, you know, maybe you'll see them go down there and look for a certain player or two. You know, I don't think they're going to spend a ton of time down there, but that's definitely an added bonus. But Fitch is just a veteran coach, too, so you could place him in just about any situation. Tech has not really had somebody that's been strong in Dallas the last year or two, so maybe would you see him go over there? Would you see Kevin Curtis get back over in North Texas area? Or does Mickey Joseph have any ties in the Dallas area? He's a veteran coach that's been around. He's probably going to be back in New Orleans primarily, but does he have any connections in Dallas? So
another interesting connection with Fitch on the recruiting trail is I read something on a Boston College Rivals site, I believe, that he has ties to the parochial Catholic school circuit in America. So that's something to look out for. That's obviously Tech's never recruited that kind of school a ton because we're in the Bible Belt and there's one Catholic church in Ruston and it's not nearly as big as the Baptist churches.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some Catholic schools in Dallas and New Orleans, but around here you don't see them as much. You know, there's maybe like what, one in Lafayette area or two, and one in Little Rock.
St. Mary's and Natchitoches, Loyola, I think, is Catholic, and they're in Shreveport, and then, of course, St. Fred's as well is Catholic, and that's in Monroe. But they're not, none of them are large schools. You look at New Orleans, and the Catholic League is what that 5A district is known as, with Jesuit, Rummel, Holy Cross, and Brother Martin. Those are four 5A parochial all-boy high schools.
And given the fact that he's from New Orleans, I mean, that's just – Tech's not going to miss a beat in New Orleans. Not saying they're not going to miss Jabbar Jalut, but Joseph's got ties down there too, and so Tech's going to keep hitting New Orleans hard.
But continuing – sorry, I had to take that little tangent. I somehow forgot that, but that's good stuff. And I like the hire. It's somebody that I've heard his name from really as soon as the job opened. So it was not a surprise. Jason, you and I talked about him weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, you knew about him for a long time, and it was just kind of waiting to see what happened with the signing class before they were going to announce that. You're not going to see another offensive coordinator come in that's going to run a different offense. Skip's going to call the plays. You saw it out here with Cal. Sonny Dykes loses Tony Franklin. Who does he hire? The guy that used to be at West Virginia and then Texas A&M.
Jake Spavital.
Spavital, and so he comes from the same tree. They're going to run the same offense. So Holtz is going to find somebody that's like-minded. And especially if he's going to keep calling the plays, you're not going to get anybody that's calling plays somewhere else. They're not going to take a step down. So the only other option would have been to hire a recruiter and just put that offensive coordinator tag on him. But he's getting a guy that he's familiar with. It makes total sense. They had a lot of success together at East Carolina, won Conference USA a couple of times, and so they're definitely trying to repeat that success here. And it just makes all the sense in the world. You've got a veteran guy that you can kind of plug in recruiting wherever you need help, and he's going to help, you know, just game plan the offense and maybe, you know, refine it even better and put it around the players that you have coming back. It's going to be a brand new set of guys, and they'll see what the strengths are of those players and build it, you know, as it seems they seem to seem necessary.
And you look at the chemistry and the makeup of Skip Holtz coaching staffs. It was going to be a veteran. It was not going to be an inexperienced coach. He likes to have a mix. You look at right now, he's got Todd Fitch is a veteran. Robert McFarlane's a veteran. On the defensive side, Rick Petrie's a veteran.
Yeah, he's running three of his last four coaches that he's hired are veterans, but then the fourth, Carl Scott's a young guy. So,
and Blake Baker's kind of there in the middle. Joe Sloan is now kind of there in the middle, and you've got a guy that's about to be a veteran in Tim Rattay. Tim Rattay's been around the game of football for a really long time as a household name in Louisiana Tech circles, of course. But let's move along back to the 2016 signing class. We were talking about the defensive line, Kadarian Mason being that splash on signing day. But Kalen Ritchie, a defensive end who had signed with South Carolina out of high school, was committed to them throughout the went to Georgia military, was committed to them, really was expecting to sign with South Carolina. They had a coaching change. Will Muschamp and company didn't have as high of an opinion of him as Steve Spurrier's staff did. They weren't going to take his commitment, so he was left looking for somewhere else to go. A 6'6", 250-pound defensive end.
Yeah, just the length that they added on the defensive line with a 6'6 end. Talks about Mason being a 6'5 interior player. Then they add the other junior college defensive lineman who's 6'4".
And then let's not forget the biggest splash of the entire class, Willie Baker, who's been committed. It's hard to think of him as a splash because he was committed so long, but he is the biggest splash.
Yeah, he's the biggest name in the class. He's a 6'4", 235 defensive end from Livonia. And then the JUCO was Keontae Garner, 6'4", 270 inside player, defensive tackle. He's originally from Jackson, Mississippi. And I mean, just the length, the athleticism in those four guys, and then you throw in the fact that, two of your top returners are going to be true sophomores, Courtney Wallace inside, and then also Jordan Bradford playing next to him.
Jay Ferguson.
And then Jay Ferguson's a sophomore, third-year sophomore, and then third-year junior on the other side, Deldrick Canty. So you've got some really guys that are in their third year or lower, younger, some juniors, some sophomores, some freshmen, a lot of depth. The only senior is going to be on the inside.
Aaron Brown.
Everybody else is young. So you've got a lot of athletes, a lot of depth, a lot of competition for playing time. I mean, it should be a really fun spring practice. And Baker's going to have a lot of toys to play with on his defense the next couple of years.
And having Caleb Ritchie, the junior college defensive end, here for spring football will be huge. I really think the quarter system played in nicely for Kalen Ritchie, especially. I don't think he's completely graduated yet. You're either graduated or you're not. There's no such thing as completely graduated. He's not graduated yet from his junior college, and he must do that in order to transfer to a four-year school. So because he would graduate in May, and now he can take some correspondence classes, do it on his own, and graduate before and get done by March, and he can enroll in Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, that plays out perfectly for the quarter system, getting kids in before.
It giveth and it taketh away.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in basketball. And the football schedule came out too. Texas, again, last year I think 10 straight games before a bye week. Now it's going to be, is it 11? Or maybe it was 9 last year and 10 this year. They're basically going to be off because of finals. And I'm sure that's because Tech needed it to be that way.
Do you think they request that?
I'm sure. I mean, somebody, it might have been Clayton, brought it up in your forums. In the Tech Drive forums, but it's a good point, and it's got to be why, because it wouldn't happen 2 years in a row if they weren't requesting it. And it makes sense for the students. They need to be able to study, but it just sucks for a football standpoint because you're playing 10 straight weeks with no break.
We're talking about scholarships for on signing day. We've talked about spring football. A little bit of another insight of why Louisiana Tech maybe didn't sign a full allotment. We'll go inside the numbers of the scholarship numbers after this break, and we'll continue talking the signing day from last week and also previewing into spring football that happens next month, which is crazy to talk about. But football was not gone very long, and it's already going to be back very soon. We'll be back right after this. This segment brought to you by your 26 local area State Farm agents. And, of course, Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the final live Bleed Tech Blue Radio of the season. Here on ESPN Radio 97.7, Jason Jones and I will bring you some podcast-only episodes of the show later in the year. We can't can't just leave them hanging.
Yeah, you got too much to go, especially with basketball, conference tournament coming up, and then spring football. We've got to keep talking about it.
We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston, just like we have been all season long. Appreciate Brent Schoat and his loyalty to BleedTechBlue.com and Bleed Tech Blue Radio. It's very much appreciated. Jason, I teased a little bit about some scholarship numbers for Louisiana Tech and why they only announced 18 on National Signing Day. Alfred Smith and Ronald Lewis, the transfers from Arizona State and Utah and Arizona State, respectively, count towards 2015. We expect that Tech will put a walk-on on scholarship this year, which will count towards 2016. Gerald Jackson, transfer from Hawaii by way of Hainesville, will count towards 2016. So that gives you two numbers to 2016. That brings your total to 20 already. If Tech does plan on counting John Randall Belton back, which we heard is a possibility in 2017, he doesn't count towards 20. He'll count towards next year's total initials. And so Tech's got plenty of room for transfers.
Yeah, we thought there was going to be 20 or 21, depending on how it shakes out. But Coach Holtz always likes to leave about four spots open for more potential transfers. You talked about some really high-profile transfers in Lewis and Jackson that came in recently.
And so, Smith.
Yeah, and Alfred Smith. And so then you've got the chance to bring in some more this coming spring / summer. And the positions, Coach Holtz said, doesn't really matter. He's looking for more like, you know, how good of a student is and how good of a player is a kid. But I'm sure if he had a 6'5 receiver show up or a middle linebacker show up, that would probably be most beneficial, even if they couldn't play this year. Now, will he take a graduate transfer? I don't know, maybe, if the fit's right. But
if it's a middle linebacker, they'll take one.
Yeah, but, you know, if it's a player that has to sit out a year, probably still take them if they're good enough. So, I mean, that's the two positions I would keep my eyes on. Also, there's not a whole lot of depth right now at tight end / fullback. So you've got a lot of young guys coming up.
Yeah.
Woodall, Kooser, Holly. Three of them, but not a lot of depth there. So if I saw a transfer that was a fullback or a tight end, I would be interested in that. So that's kind of the numbers. Now, you mentioned some of these players might count towards 2017. Another thing to keep an eye on, there's only 16 seniors that I can count on scholarship.
We'll get more into 2017 in probably in the next segment.
So they don't want to oversign too many this
exactly.
year, because that's going to mean even less you can sign next year.
Yeah, they don't have many. There's not many seniors on the roster this coming season. Moving along on the defensive side of the ball to the linebacker, Tech announced the signings of Eric Kinzer, who we expect to play Viper for Louisiana Tech, that kind of hybrid outside linebacker, defensive end. And then Devin Hamilton out of Lake Charles, 6'1", 215-pounder. Also could see out of Baton Rouge, Scotlandville, Reggie Cleveland moving down into the box. He's already close to 220 pounds. Could play the Sam linebacker position for Louisiana Tech, but also could play some strong safety. So it depends on how he grasps the offense, our defense, where he ends up playing.
Yeah, so you could have one safety, one defensive end, and one linebacker in that group, or you could have three linebackers. So a lot of versatility there. And speaking of versatility, Ladarius Thomas, who's going to count towards the 2017 class as a gray shirt, he could play linebacker if the fit was right. He's definitely good enough at linebacker, but he's good enough at running back. They're obviously going to give him a shot there first. So,
and you look at linebacker heading into spring practice. You lose C.J. Cleveland to graduation. Russell Ferris is back. Nick Thomason, of course, on his way out to graduation. Brandon Derman's back. Bo Feet leaves for graduation. Colin Scott is back. Frazier Hogan is back. Dante Williams coming off a redshirt year at Bossier City Parkway product. Quante Moore out of Edna Carr in New Orleans is back. Michael Mims coming off his ACL surgery, a West Monroe product coming back. Donald Freeman out of Baton Rouge, Scotlandville, coming off a redshirt season. And I think that lines it out. Davon Washington, a guy that they were really high on as a redshirt freshman out of Ash in Alexandria last year, also coming back.
Yeah, linebackers got some serious depth now after last year, looking like there wasn't much at all.
Just not much experience.
Not much experience. It's pretty young. So inside, with no Thomas Kletcher in the signing class, he decided to go back to junior college. You've got three guys that might be looking at that spot, middle linebacker competing for the starting spot, Brandon Derman, maybe Colin Scott, Quanta Moore, and then if necessary, Russell Ferris can play there. So, but those three for sure. Then on the outside, Ferris has got a strong case to start alongside Lloyd Grogan. But then you've got
Dante Williams, who can really run.
Williams and Freeman are your two young guys. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Mims will be coming back from injury. 8. He's on the outside. A lot of players, and I know there's one or two. I'm not even. Washington would be 9. And I think there's
Frazier Hogan played.
Yeah, Frazier Hogan can play. He might even be a candidate for inside. And then there's been some talk about, among fans anyway, will Cedric Cooper move up, being as tall and over 200 pounds as he is? You know, he can move up from safety, but
and he's not exactly the swiftest guy on the field.
Well, but the problem is there's not a lot of depth at safety now. Well, signing a junior college safety, which we'll get
look
to
at
in
you
a minute.
Look at you with your little segue here.
Oh, I'm trying. Signing a junior
leading
college
the
safety,
show along like he always does, Jason Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
You know it. Will they? Okay, so you signed
Damarian King.
Damarian King.
I got your back that time.
Thank you. I keep wanting to say Kadarian, and I know it's not because he's a defensive end. But will that allow Cooper to move up? Or do you keep Cooper at safety and have two guys there at that position? Because there's not a lot of depth behind them, just really young guys.
Yeah, you look at – we'll move on this in the safety because you mentioned Cedric Cooper. And then in the signing class, Louisiana Tech did sign some safeties. And of course, Damarian King – David Beasley out of Pine Bluff, Legarius, J.J. Sneed out of Minden could play safety. You know, there was a lot of talk of the versatility of Jay Sneed and David Beasley. It sounds like one will end up at receiver. They didn't say that verbatim, but Holtz talked about their versatility. We've heard Sloan talk about their versatility. And then even Carl Scott said in the social that he will have knockdown, drag-out fights, keeping them at safety. So clearly there's been a lot of conversation about one or both playing receiver. And it's silly not to when you look at their numbers at receiver in high school.
Yeah, and so, I mean, with Zach Cannibal playing corner, one of those guys could play receiver, one of them could play safety. Or
one of them is going to be that free safety position behind Xavier Woods.
Yeah, most likely. Or, I mean, it just depends, you know, what they have with Dwayne Williams coming up, too. So, and there was a ton of defensive backs signed last year's class. So there's a lot of young guys coming in. James Jackson from Hainesville is one of them. So, but, yeah, you're right. I mean, with the height that Snead has, with the height that
And listed at safety, Tech's got Cedric Cooper, Lloyd Grogan, Theron Williams, James Jackson, and Xavier Woods all coming back. The lone departure at safety being Kentrell Bryce, of course, the Rustin High product. So plenty of room for somebody to get some playing time at safety.
Yeah, just nobody got any last year behind Bryce and Cooper and Woods. And so all these young guys now, Jackson, they're going to have to come in and prove their worth in the spring. But there's plenty of guys there. And also with the junior college transfer, there's going to be a big battle for playing time.
Damarian King. We'll go into corners. We'll finish up the defensive side of the football in the next segment. And we'll close out with the offensive side of the ball. In the final segment, we'll talk little hoops here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. This segment brought to you by Brister's Smokehouse in National Jewelry here in Ruston. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7 on this Fat Tuesday. Happy Mardi Gras to everybody out there. What you going to give up for Lent tomorrow, Ash Wednesday? Jason's looking at me like a good Protestant, like, Ash Wednesday, Lent.
I'm giving up dieting.
You're giving up dieting. You gave that up a long time ago.
That's right. I'm giving up it again, baby.
We're brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Give us a call on the Fairway Carton Menden hotline or text line 888-993-7762. What position are you most excited about heading into spring football for Louisiana Tech? Jason, you go, let's go in the corners. In the signing class, Tech did really well at corner.
Well, yeah, obviously Zach Cannibal could be one of the stars of the class from Washtenaw High School, 6 foot. But I'm still holding out the thought that you could see Beasley or Snead over there too. And if one of them ends up over there along with Hannibal, you've got a couple of 6 foot, 6 foot one corners.
That's and then a gray shirt, we're expecting Dwayne Williams out of Scotlandville as well, another 6 foot corner. What they keep doing with getting length on the defensive back is astounding.
Well, and it's a far cry from last year when you had, you know, a lot of 5'9", 5'10 corners. Now they'll be able to have some taller guys that can match up with some of these 6'4", 6'5 receivers and not be giving up 8 inches. Now they're maybe just giving up four.
Especially when you think about you lose both starting corners to graduation in Adarius Barnes and Bryson Abraham. Roland Dunn comes back. Ephraim Kitchen, who played a lot as a freshman before getting hurt, comes back. Trey Spencer, another true freshman, comes back. Aaron Robertson, another true freshman out of Shreveport. Huntington comes back. Kirkland McCullough, a walk-on who will end up on scholarship one day. There's no doubt about it. From Shreveport, C.E. Bird coming back.
And I feel like he's got the size to move over to safety. I really do. With all these corners coming in.
He played a little safety last year.
With all these corners coming in and also the two transfer corners, I wouldn't be surprised if he's lined up at safety this spring.
And then you got Gerald Jackson, the Hawaii transfer, 6'1", 175, redshirt. He'll be a redshirt sophomore next season. And then also Ronald Lewis, the Arizona State transfer, will be a redshirt junior next year. So he'll have 2 years to play at 5'11", 185, was a receiver coming out of high school, a three-star, highly sought-after prospect. So really good depth at corner for Louisiana Tech. Coming out of spring practice, you really think that it's probably Ronald Lewis and Gerald Jackson's jobs to lose, but Ephraim Kitchen's not going anywhere. Aaron Robertson's not going anywhere. Trey Spencer's not going anywhere.
Our Shreveport listeners are really high on Aaron Robertson and really feel like he's going to be a guy that's going to lock down a starting spot. So,
and he's the shortest corner that Louisiana Tech has left at 5'9", but probably the highest jumper on the team.
And probably the hardest hitter out of that group. You know, if you look at his highlights, I mean, that guy was leveling some people. So, he's very aggressive, and Tech likes aggressive. Blake Baker loves aggressive. So, Robertson and Kitchen will probably be giving the two transfers all they want. That's probably what the battle for playing time is going to come down to. But there's
like Trey Spencer a lot, too.
Trey Spencer's good.
Really long.
And there's, you know, some other guys that have been here will have their chance, too. So, you know, there's going to be a ton of competition at cornerback.
Let's move on to the offensive side of the ball. Okay, you got to start at quarterback when you go to offense. And I really think it's Ryan Higgins' job. I would be shocked if it's not Ryan Higgins, honestly, starts the entire season next year.
I've got to disagree. I don't think you can start a senior. I think you've got so many young guys on this team, and you're kind of in a rebuilding year. They basically dumbed down the schedule by getting rid of Mississippi State and putting in UMass, trying to make it a little easier. I feel like you're going to go through a lot of growing pains with these young guys. Put in a freshman or a sophomore, take your lumps, try to win 6 or 7 and get in a bowl game. Then in 2017, you've got an experienced quarterback where you can get Mississippi State at home and get some of these games where you can try to have a big season again, and you don't want to be starting over at quarterback yet again.
Well, let's put something on the line.
Oh, yes, we got to do that.
Let's put a meal, because Lord knows, although I'm down significant weight, I can still eat. You just got to eat the right things. You don't know what that's all about. You don't know about that life.
I've done it before. I just don't like it.
You don't like that life. So we'll put a meal on it. I say Ryan Higgins is a starter all year.
I'll take the field.
He's taking the field. All right. Well, there's that.
So you're going to be buying me a rib and cheese with a side of
I'll buy you whatever you want.
At Brister's. Awesome.
I'll buy you whatever you want. And if it's me, you got to buy me half chicken. At Brister's.
Got it.
But if it's not Ryan Higgins, Price Wilson, Jamar Smith, who may or may not play in spring football, we don't know yet.
And then Abraham's going to be here.
Jack Abraham will be here in the spring.
I wouldn't put it past him, you know, playing one of the freshmen. I really, you know, if Jamar competes in the spring, if Abraham's here, give it to him. And I wouldn't even say that Higgins has got to start the whole season. If he starts after week three, you know.
All right, you're going to make it even easier on me.
Yeah, I'll make it easier on you. If he's still the starter after week three, I'll buy you a meal. So I feel like you got to go young. This is a rebuilding year.
So you agree that he'll start at the beginning of the year?
I mean, there's a better chance that he'll start against Arkansas or Texas Tech because you don't want to throw a true freshman to the Wolves. But and don't get me wrong, if he wins the job, if he's the best quarterback, then you got to play him. I understand that. But I feel like
he was outplaying Jeff Driscoll much of fall camp last year.
Yeah. A lot of people like Jamar, too, in the opportunities that he got as a true freshman. But if all things are equal, you got to go with the young guy because – it's 2017, 2018.
I understand that. I understand the argument.
2019 could have big seasons with an experienced quarterback.
And, of course, John Randall Belton will either be a part of this class or the next class. If Belton can stay healthy, he could be the future.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know that's the million-dollar question. That's what. And poor guy, I know that he gets tired of hearing, but if he can stay healthy, but it is what it is. Staying on the offensive side of the ball, going to running back, of course, replacing Louisiana Tech's best running back ever. Yes, ever. There's no arguing that.
No.
The best running back to ever put on a Louisiana Tech jersey, Kenneth Dixon. Impossible shoes to fill next season for Louisiana Tech. They signed Israel Tucker, expecting a gray shirt out of Ladarius Thomas out of Wasserman. Boston Scott's coming back. Jared Kraft is coming back.
Dancy's coming back.
Jacquees Dancy out of Junction City's coming back. There's some talent there. It's just unproven. Heading into spring football, coming out of spring football, my dark horse to start is Jacquees Dancy.
That'd be the good one because, I mean, Kraft's got the edge and experience. And then
Boston Scott with his numbers.
Yeah, he put up some numbers at the end of the year, so everybody's kind of high on him.
It'll be Boston Scott or Jacquees Dancy, and I wouldn't be shocked to see Jared Kraft move to inside receiver.
Yeah. Kraft or Dancy, either one, could move inside. But the thing is, you might leave all three of them at running back and rotate them because
you just have a three-headed monster.
You've seen that in the past. I mean,
running backs get hurt. It's what happens.
Yeah, if a running back gets hurt, you have somebody else that can come in. And you've seen over the last couple of years, Marlon Seitz get carries. Blake Martin got carries. Hunter Lee got carries. Whenever somebody got hurt, there was two or three other guys off the bench ready to go. And so who's going to start? I don't know. Kraft will be the starter going into spring camp, but coming out, you're right. It very well could be Dancy. Now, he didn't get many opportunities to carry the ball this year, but
he's my dark horse.
He's probably the fastest of the three.
There's no doubt about that. And you talk about the lack of depth at the tight end / fullback position. Bobby Holly has to be the shoe in there for fullback.
He's basically
at a Farmerville.
He's basically replacing Ricky Jones, Woodall or Couser.
Couser.
Woodall probably being the more veteran player. One of them will have to replace the tight ends. That's the only tight ends on the roster.
So Zach Couser, of course, coming in from Oxford, Mississippi, along with Jack Abraham. He will not be here in the spring as Abraham will, but that position is pretty easy to go through because there's not a whole lot of numbers. Offensive line is where it gets interesting. There's a lot of numbers there now, and Louisiana Tech added quite a few in this class, mostly interior guys, with the exception of Josh Outlaw by way of Tyler Junior College and Texas Tech. Jason, that guy had offers from everybody coming out of high school.
Yeah, was committed to Florida for a long time, switched to Texas Tech, had offers all up and down the Southeast. He's got
from the Atlanta area.
Yeah, Milledgeville, I think. He's got a chance. No, that was Richie. No. Sorry.
Somewhere in the Atlanta area.
Yeah, my bad. So, anyway, he's got a chance to start at right tackle. Shane Carpenter is going to be his main competition. Another guy that I think could eventually play right tackle in a couple of years is Taylor Fondle. He's just very versatile, can play inside or out. And then all these other guys are probably inside guys like Melanson and Russi. And then from Ouachita, Kennedy Madison, who's probably going to gray shirt and be counted
towards the gray shirt.
2017 class.
You look at those offensive linemen, Cody Russi will be a center. He's a prototypical center. At we got him listed at 6'3", 270. I think, what did Tech have him at? 6'1", 280?
Yeah, closer to 280.
Which is prototypical center.
Now, if who was the center from last year's class? Was it Reed?
Yeah, Ethan Reed will give him all he wants.
He'll give him all he wants. Now, there's a chance one of them could be the center and one of them could be the guard of the future. You've got a lot of guards coming back that are going to be seniors this year. So give it one more year. Those two guys could be starting next to each other.
And O'Shea Dugas could move outside the left tackle after this coming season. I would almost be shocked if he doesn't.
Yeah, that makes too much sense with Darryl Brown being a senior.
So Darryl Brown will be the left tackle. And then you look at the other freshman signees, Drew Melanson out of Hanville High School, already enrolled in class. He will be in here for spring at 6'4", 280. And then the other ones, Kennedy Madison, you mentioned him, and Taylor Fondle out of New Iberia coming in as well. So you look at the offensive line coming back. Kirby Wixon will be the starting center for Louisiana Tech after his medical redshirt year last year. Deontay McCready comes back, a guard. O'Shea Dugas comes back at left guard. Shane Carpenter, a tackle, coming back. Michael Rodriguez coming back, could play some tight end. Also, especially in some run situations or some max protect situations. Joseph Brunson's back, and Devontae Lovett will be back. David Mahaffey's back. And Derek Edinburgh is back. So lots of options at Louisiana at offensive line for Louisiana Tech. A very good problem to have. So that'll be something fun to watch. I can't imagine how many different combinations we'll see in spring practice at offensive line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with Wixon coming back is the real key because, I mean, he was going to be the senior starter at center all year this past year and got hurt. So now he's back. Mahaffey had to play out of position at center to replace him, so he can move back to guard, and you got Dugas at guard. But then pushing them for playing time is Brunson and McCready. And then Ethan Reed, we mentioned, has a chance to be the backup center as a redshirt freshman. But Brunson can play center. Mahaffey now can play center. There's so many options inside. And then outside, Carpenter, Outlaw, Darryl Brown. And then the question is, will Rodriguez play tackle as one of the backups? Will he play tight end out of necessity because he's probably the only one big enough and heavy enough to really block at this point? The other guys are really young. And then probably the only other options at tackle are either Edinburgh or Lovett. Which one of them would be the fourth tackle if Rodriguez is indeed a tight end?
Let's run through the wide receivers real fast. Of course, it could be out of the class, could be Jay Sneed out of Minden, and also David Beasley out of Pine Bluff. In last year's class, Rashid Bonnet redshirted.
And then Alfred Smith transferred in.
He redshirted. Javonte Woodard redshirted. So, and then the only player you lose at receiver next year, or after off last year's team, is Paul Turner. You return everyone else. Marcus Gaines, DeJuan Oliver, Grant Childress, Jonathan Hughes, a walk-on that was making waves. Actually, you lose Sanford Say as well off that team, but he just didn't play a ton. Marlon Watts will be back. Connor Smith will be back. Carlos Henderson will be back. Cam McKnight's back. Alfred Tarzan Smith back. And Javonte Woodard. And, of course, last but not least, Trent Taylor.
Yeah, don't forget about Trent Taylor. So inside, I mean, Taylor and then either Connor Smith,
Cam McKnight
would be probably
Alfred
starting
Smith
inside, but then you got Alfred Smith. So there's four really good options inside, and then outside, Henderson is your known factor. Gaines had some big games. Watts showed promise the last 2 years, but will these other guys that redshirted,
Rashid Bynett, who is a burner,
will they push Watts and Gaines for a starting spot on the other side opposite Henderson?
When you look at the depth, you understand why receiver wasn't a necessity for Louisiana Tech in the 2016 class.
Yeah, I mean, let these guys get a little bit older. Taylor's going to be a senior now. Connor Smith. I think going into the 2017 class, with only 16 seniors on the roster, there's not going to be a huge signing class in 2017. But I think wide receiver and defensive tackle will probably be the two biggest spots. Now, I know Kadarius Mason will probably end up inside from this class, and then Garner was only 1 year into junior college. Yeah. So they're both pretty young. So they did sign a couple of D tackles, basically, but I still feel like depth-wise, they could use some help there.
And there's a gray-shirted I think it may have been a blue-shirted deep snapper in this last class. So he comes in to replace Daryl Travis, who will be a senior next season. Ryan Higgins is a senior. Aaron Brown will be a senior at defensive tackle. Joseph, offensive line is just littered with them. Joseph Brunson's a senior. Clayton Landry's a senior. Daryl Brown's a senior. And Eric Edinburgh will be a senior. But Lloyd Grogan will be a senior next season at safety. And then you've got some specialists in Kyle Fisher and Gerald Schaus. I expect some attrition somewhere in the specialists.
Yeah, you'll see there'll be some attrition in spring football too. Some guys that have been here 3 or 4 years that
they're
buried in the depth chart. You know, if they're getting close to graduating, they want to focus on academics. You know, there will be a little attrition, so it might be that Tech ends up signing closer to 19 or 20. But right now, on paper, there's only 16 leaving, so there's not that many spots available. A lot can change in 12 months.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll talk a little hoops, and then we'll close it out for this final live edition of Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. This segment brought to you by Pierce Service Company, Gary Stokely of Keller Williams Realty, and then next segment brought to you by Brennan Dodge and Dairy Queen. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by our title sponsor, Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go see those guys in the historic Rogers Furniture Building for all your interior decorating needs. I got that out eventually. That was painful. Give us a call on the Fairway Cart to Minden Hotline, 888-993-7762, or send us a text on the same number, 888-993-7762. Jason, going into a little basketball talk, yeah, they've struggled of late. Lost to North Texas, a game that they shouldn't have lost.
Had won four in a row before that, but against teams that aren't ranked very high, UTEP being the best of the four. But that game was played in Ruston.
It Tech's fine at home. When they go on the road, it just gets a little sketchy. You look early on in the season before Janiah White left to his medical issues. Does Tech beat Ohio State or UT Arlington without Janiah White, Jason?
Probably not. And
so you put him on the roster now.
It's a totally different ball game, and you look this game coming up Saturday against UAB, not to skip Middle Tennessee because they're good.
Oh, these are two really hard games Tech has in front of him this week.
But especially UAB, how long they are and how they attack the rim, and you don't have White in there to block shots. I mean, he was battling UAB last year in the playoffs and really didn't back down against some older, bigger guys. You just don't have that rim protector in there. Holden and Shepard are both about 6'8", good athletes. And they're playing out of position, trying to play center.
And Holden had been having a really good year, and then he gets hurt, and he's just hasn't been back to pre-injury form yet.
Yeah, and he's rounding back into shape. Shepard's improved, I think. But then so you've got those guys having to play center. McCree's your four, but the only backup is a true freshman, who I really like in Washington. But, just you know, they've been missing Kedar, and so – you don't have any real depth there, and you're just undersized. And so,
man, it'd be huge if Kedar could come back this week.
Yeah, really need him back. They're just really thin inside, and it's taken that. It's more obvious on the road because your shots don't fall as well. The guard play, you know, at home has just been outstanding the last several years. But then you go on the road, if those shots aren't falling, the weakness inside really is glaring.
And, you know, there's the team is standing around watching Alex Hamilton and Eric McCree too much. I mean, there's no doubt about that. That's elementary basketball 101 is you must move without the ball. And there's not a lot of that going on.
And those two guys have to move the ball. I mean, the offense the last few years was press, 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 get the ball, and try to go dunk it. And if you got caught up in a half court, go one-on-one with Hamilton or McCree or Appleby and try to get to the line. And Hamilton is really good at that. The problem is they go to that still a lot this year. They kind of get into that mindset where, okay, we're in a tough spot here. I need to take the team on my shoulders. Give me the ball. I'm going to drive, get fouled, or get the score. And a lot of times when they're on, they're doing that over and over, and it's very impressive. But then if they're off, you're taking shots over bigger guys that you're missing. You're turning the ball over because you're trying to over dribble. And you're not involving your teammates. And so these veteran guys that have been here a long time that are the two best players on the team, and you've got to play them most of the game. You need them out there. You need their talent out there.
If they're not out there, what's the score going to be?
Yeah, because those are the only two guys that can consistently
score the ball,
consistently create their shot. Now, Boykins is more of a spot-up shooter. But
so was Deion Griffin.
But I will say Deion Griffin has been improving a lot in creating his own shot, and you'll probably see him more next year along with Derek Jean getting a chance to create more with Hamilton moving on. But, yeah, you've got to have those guys out there creating offense, but they got to figure out a way to incorporate the younger guys. Those guys have to move around, like you said. They just had to buy into Coach Conkle and what he's trying to do. And it seems like when they get in a tight spot, if they get down, the veterans want to put it on their shoulders and play one-on-one. When they're on, it's great. Everybody loves it. But when they're not, it looks bad.
Season's not over in the least, but let's look a little forward to next season. Daquan Bracey coming in at point guard from Baltimore, Maryland. Jalen Harris, a 6'5 guard out of Duncanville, Texas, coming in. Jacoby Pemberton out of Dallas, Texas, coming in at 6'4. And then Oliver Powell, also out of the Dallas area, Garland, Texas, at 6'8. Jason, I mean it when I say if Oliver Powell was here this year, he starts.
Yeah, definitely.
And especially given the circumstances.
Yeah, with White and Holden's injuries, he would be definitely starting. And then you can see Bracey and Gene being the backcourt of the future, really smaller backcourt, but super athletic. And then Jalen Harris could play the three. Deion Griffin could play the three. Jacoby Boykins could play the three. Or maybe you start two of those guys together, and maybe Bracey or Gene is your sixth man and your energy guy off the bench. But very fast, very athletic team next year, and we'll see how that kind of fits together.
You know, you mentioned the energy guy. That's what Tech has missed the most with Kedar Davis being out. He is the energy guy of the team. The majority of those guys, they don't seem to get high or low, whether they're winning or losing.
Yeah, Gene's very even keeled. He's very
– and he shows the most emotion out of everybody else on the team.
Yeah, he's the energy guy off the bench. But Kedar was the one that did it with his defense first, his hustle, going after the loose ball, going after the rebound, and then he could lock down the other team's best scoring option from the wing. And so they're missing him tremendously, missing White's presence. But given the fact that they've lost those two guys and they also miss Holden for a lot of the year, 17-6 is not a bad record.
No, Tech's going to end up with over 20 wins this year.
Do you want to lose at North Texas or at FAU? No, those are two bad losses. I understand that. But
what's Massey? You're looking at MasseyRatings.com right now. What do they have Tech's final final record being before conference play, conference tournament?
Massey has Tech winning the next six games and then losing the last two. So you go from 17-6
to 23-8.
Now, that means you got to beat Middle Tennessee and UAB this week. Tech's really good at home. Can they beat those two teams? Massey has them at 62% Thursday and then 53% against UAB. Then it's 87% at San Antonio, 54% at UTEP.
The four of the Texas games with Rice and North Texas at home, they win those.
They win those for sure. Probably win at San Antonio, but San Antonio, has always been a tough road game, no matter how bad they are.
Because that building is awful.
And UTEP is a good team. You know, they're 13-11, but they're still a solid program. That's not going to be an easy game. So will Tech probably win all six of these next games? More than likely not. But, you know, even if they lose one or two, you're still talking about over 20 wins. New is going to be kind of a rebuilding year after losing all those seniors, changing coaches, blah, blah, blah. Still a good year. Middle Tennessee's coming in at 17-6. They got matching records. Tech wins that one. It's a big showdown with UAB Saturday. Should be a nice crowd.
John, appreciate your hard work throughout the season here on the ones and the twos. For Jason Jones, I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Come check us out on BleedTechBlue.com. You won't be disappointed. Breaking news on the reg. We'll be back next season right here on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll catch you then.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Our show is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as your hotline sponsor, Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.